Well, I think they've covered all the main topics. I will just say one or two things then to kind of wrap it up. I understand that we have the chorus singing here in about 5 minutes, so I'll make my remarks rather brief. They did such a brilliant job, I hardly need to say anything in addition to that. First of all, James, I want to put your mind at ease. When I reached in to pick out the first term paper that I was going to grade this spring for government class, on the front, you know, you always put the name of the teacher, Mr. F-L-E-M-M-I-N-G. So you've had plenty of company on that. In fact, I don't think I've ever had a class which turned in, you know, a large number of papers. At least one person did not spell it that way. So you have good company. Don't worry about that. Some of these people are very smart people, just like you. Okay. Just a couple of things then to kind of wrap up. One of the things that they were talking about was the grading. Those of you here in the early years will remember that we went through about a dozen different ways of grading. And as has already been explained to you, almost invariably within, well, just the first grading period, certainly no later than the second, the kids had already figured out what was an A, what was a B, and what was a C. So we had Perry Lentz. Some of you remember Perry, I'm sure. And he wrote an editorial for the ISINFO, which I thought was very original. He said, the only way you're ever really going to work this thing out is to color code the grading. And he suggested that we have each year certain colors that would indicate the A, the B, the C, and then switch them around. And that way... And that way, of course, we could keep everybody confused. I'm sure we did a very thorough job of confusing people on down the line. One of the things about faculty meetings, and all of us who are in those early faculty meetings will remember this very clearly. Some of you students may have been invited in for some of those with the length of those faculty meetings. They were nearly always on Monday evening. It would start at 7 o'clock. And very often, we weren't through until 11, or maybe even a little after. Those of us who, next time we complain, Doug, about long faculty meetings, just remind us of this. And I think it'll help us to keep things in perspective. But I couldn't understand, and the rest of us couldn't understand. High here was Dr. Armstrong, who was already 50-plus. He could go to those meetings. He could conduct a four-hour meeting. He was just as fresh as the days. And we were just dragging. We could barely get out of it. And so finally... One day, the cat got out of the bag. He and his wife, Margaret, were walking right ahead of several faculty members going out of the dining hall. And she turned to Doc, it was on Monday, and she turned to Doc and she said, now, did you get your two-hour nap this afternoon? Suddenly, a great light dawned about how it was that Doc could be so fresh and the rest of us were dragging our feet. And that certainly helped us to understand the situation a lot better. Like all these two fine gentlemen, there are just so many things here we could talk about. I'll save these for some of the reunion meetings that I'll be going to this evening, and you probably have many more stories that you would like to tell. I will conclude with one more, and this is a Doc story, of course. Dr. Armstrong and the man who is now chairman of the board, Billy Slaughter, and I think all of you know Bill, were invited to come to Montgomery. And the purpose of that was to appear on ETV to explain exactly, you know, what the Indian Springs philosophy was all about. Those of you who remember Bill Slaughter know that when it came to philosophizing, that man just couldn't be beat. And he and Armstrong, when they got going, it would just go almost endlessly. Well, they were invited to Montgomery. They appeared on the program. They did their presentation. And then when they got through, they were talking to Mr. Smith, who was our contact man down there, and he was giving them directions. Now, here's the way you go back to Indian Springs School. And so Doc and Bill started out on the right road. And then they got to talking philosophy. Big mistake. And they had been on the road for over an hour, and Dr. Armstrong turned to Bill and said, Bill, we should have been seeing the alabaster sign by now. Why don't you kind of keep a lookout so we don't miss the turn on 119 to go to the school? And Bill said, okay, I'll do that. I think I see a sign coming up right now. Florida State Line. Now, I don't know whether they spent the night with Ryan all or not, but they were going in the wrong direction. Well, we've got a lot of other stories we could tell folks, but I think that pretty well covers the situation. So, Mr. Scott, we'll turn it back over to you.